It is the UN and UNRWA. The UN has become a rotten, anti-Israel, and anti-Semitic body.
A top Palestinian diplomat accusing Israel of violating international law. On Wall Street, Dow futures 17 points higher. The NASDAQ futures are up 5 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You heard the news. Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange and listed on the big board. Millions of Americans like you are joining our news revolution. Reuters Institute says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in America. Even President Trump says it's terrific. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax, and its audience grew 50% since the same time last year. Millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. If you want to be a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor or get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com. Stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. This communication is for informational purposes only and shall not be intended to or shall not constitute any offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. A group of residents from the Charlestown Senior Living Facility in Catonsville spent part of their Sunday protesting as President Trump approaches his 100th day in office. The demonstrators gathered along Frederick Road on the Baltimore Beltway overpass, holding signs telling the administration to keep its hands off funding for Medicare, education, Social Security, and USAID. The protesters also called for human rights and due process in immigration policies. According to WJZ-TV, the seniors began their demonstrations in February, and the number of participants has grown over the weeks. A Maryland man has pleaded guilty to his role in a drug trafficking operation that sold large quantities of fentanyl, heroin, and cocaine. 30-year-old Lester Luna of Hagerstown admitted in a West Virginia federal courtroom that he participated in the multi-state drug trafficking network. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Now, for years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. And now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. Now, during the winter weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling are here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather has changed, and now is the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Call them today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404 or online timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric, Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
A depleted Oriole lineup faced perhaps the best pitcher in the majors yesterday, and the result was fairly predictable. Tarek Skubal pitching 6 innings of shutout ball, no walks, 11 strikeouts, as the Birds without Rutschman, Mullins, and Westberg go meekly, 7-0 the final. Postgame from the manager.
We had 3 guys hurt today, and we're not playing the best baseball right now, and we're walking too many guys to the mound. It's been rough.
Birds come home now to face the division-leading Yankees, coming off a sweep last night of the Blue Jays. Orioles in the cellar, 6.5 behind New York. NASCAR Cup Series, the Jack Link 500 at Talladega. What a finish.
Into the trial, the final time, jostling 3 wide behind the first 2 rows. Cindric, Priest at the line. Who?
Cindric. I like Cindric, and it's because of them lap cars in front of him. He had the upper hand with the cars in front. That was perfect timing for him.
Austin Cindric's dramatic last lap pass earns his first and Team Penske's first trophy of the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series season. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Ravens still have one area they need to address. And that is Stein on Sports.
Want the truth about investing in retirement? The stuff Wall Street does not want to tell you? What if there were a strategy to capture significant market gains without the risk of traditional markets. Interested? Bill O'Reilly here. Would you like a retirement strategy that allows you to retire with confidence without the fear of running out of money? Then please talk to Rod Barowi and the Safe Retirement Solutions team. 410-266-1120. 410-266-1120.
At 9:06, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
With sun today and winds out of the south, the high should hit the mid-70s and clear light winds overnight as the low eventually drops down to 54. A warming trend continues on Tuesday. Expect sunshine with gusty winds out of the south at a high of 83. Then a slight chance for a shower on Wednesday with a high again in the low 80s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 48 degrees in Westminster, 50 in Easton, and 45 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday to all of you. Feels so good to be back. You know, Palm Beach, it's beautiful weather down there, but you know, it's not like here. Here we have lots of fun. It's lots of fun here. You get to sit in traffic. The weather's, you know, it's cold in the morning, warm in the afternoon. It's just, you know, that's a lot of fun. It's like a roller coaster. Well, I got a lot to talk about today, if you can imagine, because as I was watching the stories roll in on Friday, I thought, man, oh man, I wish I was in the studio. Of course, we're going to talk about the latest award that Baltimore City received. And it's a good one. And I say good one as in it's great to talk about, because we did have the State of the City address from Mayor Brandon Scott last week. And when you look at everything that Baltimore City encompasses, you think to yourself, how could this mayor possibly be proud of what he's done since 2020? And we're going to, you know, peel this back like an onion this morning, because I just don't think that these are proud moments here in Baltimore. We also have some city grants going to only some Baltimore City restaurants, not others. Yes, they're still choosing the winners and losers based on who receives funding, or I should say grants, from the city. And honestly, I'm not surprised. I don't think you will be surprised either. Many people are talking about the fact that this is the big anniversary now for the Freddie Gray riots that occurred in 2015, 10 years ago today. And there have been a lot of people weighing in online saying that, you know what, 10 years hasn't really made a difference in the Penn North Corridor. And, of course, I happen to agree with them. So we're going to talk about that along with some of these Baltimore City issues. Also, we do have more information on the aircraft collision at the Reagan National Airport between the Black Hawk and the American Airlines flight. And, again, this took place on January 29th. And it really does feel like yesterday. But we did get some more information over the weekend about the Black Hawk pilot and what might have occurred as they were trying to maneuver around, it sounds like, this American Airlines flight. So we'll talk about that. Also, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, that did take place over the weekend. You might not have heard about it because it was a total snooze fest. I tried to tune in here and there, but it was just, it was so boring. I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep, didn't keep my attention. But I do have some audio from that dinner in regards to what the media believes happened during the whole Biden mental stability cover-up. And I have to tell you in advance, they are completely delusional about the part that they played. Now, I know you're not shocked by that, but here we are so far removed after Election Day. The Democrats lost horribly in November, and yet still, they're not putting the puzzle pieces together. So we are going to talk about that. And then also, if you missed it, I've got the audio for you from Bill Maher's show over the weekend. Congressman, he's now Senator. Senator Adam Schiff was on the panel this weekend. And it looks to me that they're going to try to do some rebranding in the Democrat Party because, of course, they lost miserably. But I'm going to play the audio for you. And I want to ask you if you feel as though Adam Schiff is being genuine. Okay, because that's the question that I have. Again, starting out this morning, I wanted to talk about Baltimore City. Of course, like I mentioned, this is the 10-year anniversary of the Freddie Gray riots. If you were in Baltimore at that time and, you know, you saw this, well, actually, you didn't have to be in Baltimore. It was national news for over a week. But in Baltimore, you got a different perspective, I think, than those across the country. Because, of course, number one, the media only picks up so much, especially if they're trying to push a certain narrative. But number two, I don't know if everybody knew exactly what was going on behind the scenes. And when I say that, I'm basically just referring to the fact that, obviously, the Penn North Corridor had lots of issues, okay? They had lots of issues for many decades. Yet you still had people like Congressman Quaise Enfume, Congressman, the late Congressman Elijah Cummings, and others that were in this area that secured millions upon millions of dollars to fix this area. And for some crazy reason, it never happened. Well, when the riots began, I don't think the national news really picked up why people were protesting in the very beginning. If you recall, and you can always call me and correct me if I'm wrong, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. If you recall, when the riots started out with just those that lived in the area, there seemed to be an uprising against the city leadership. Do you remember that? There were many people in Sandtown, Winchester, Harlan Park, all these areas, there were many people that were very upset with Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake and how they were handling the city. Now, of course, they were also upset when it came to the police, right? I guess at that time you had the Gun Trace Task Force. You had all these, you know, things that were happening. But I go back and I tell people, don't forget, you can't have a corrupt police department in Baltimore without a corrupt city hall. So as we watch, you know, both sides of this, there was corruption in City Hall, but then there was also corruption in the police department. And then you had this situation where that's when they decided, I say they, the Democrat Party decided that they were going to attack the police nationwide, right? They have made that conscious decision within the DNC. So they all had the talking points. Stephanie Rawlings Blake, you know, she was telling officers to stand down while the juveniles were running amok at Mondawmin Mall. And again, I go back, I don't blame the juveniles for being at Mondawmin Mall, because if you recall, they definitely stopped the bus service there. And there were a lot of kids that did not live there that unfortunately had to get off of the bus because that's where they stopped the service, right? That bus or those buses usually go to other stops, but they stopped it because of what was going on with Freddie Gray riots. And so there was a lot happening. And I think the big picture, the big story, a lot of that was missed on the national scene because you had people coming in, whether it was CNN, MSNBC, you had all of these reporters that were coming to town that didn't understand the dynamic even before Freddie Gray died. And I think that there was, you know, somewhat of a loss in translation there, because there were many people that were blaming city leadership for the failures in the West Baltimore region. And I agree with that 100%. Now, I do note, where, if you recall, of course, I do note where you had a lot of bad actors that came to town. They were clearly getting paid to come to town. And they were doing this all across the country as they were looting businesses, setting businesses ablaze, what have you. And so a lot of those individuals came to town and kind of like took over the entire narrative. They took over the riot itself. Because the locals, remember, the locals weren't the ones looting the pharmacies and burning down senior centers. That happened to be those that came into town that were being paid to continue to, you know, spark the flame. And so, again, there was all of this madness. But on top of that, you go 10 years later here and you're still talking about the same things that you were talking about at that time. Because the way that things were handled, even though you have the police and the consent decree, and, you know, now that the numbers are down, right, we noted that a lot of these people got moved out of, whether it was Gilmore Homes or other housing projects, and they were moved out of the city. But you can't say at this point in time that the police is doing the same things that they were doing with the Gun Trace Task Force and all. That's not happening. But yet you don't see any more positive results 10 years later. Why? Because it still goes back to the leadership. It still goes back to the elected officials. It goes back to the Baltimore City Public Schools CEO. It goes back to the fact that you've got a lot of juveniles in the city that are completely out of control. completely out of control. And unfortunately, the Democrats have decided to do nothing about it. You know, real quick, when you're talking about the drug trafficking rings and all these drug dealers being taken down in the city of Baltimore, don't ever forget, after the riots and right there before COVID, State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby, she had already decided at that point that she didn't really want to prosecute what she felt were quote-unquote low-level crimes. Remember she kept saying that? Those are low-level crimes. Drug dealing is a low-level crime. Prostitution is a low-level crime. Well, unfortunately, those so-called low-level crimes, they lead to bigger crimes. They lead to murder. Because when you don't arrest those that are selling drugs or the local pharmacists there in the community, when you don't arrest them and those people see that, you will have other people or gangs trying to take over that turf. And usually that is how some of these shootouts, drive-bys, and shootings occur, because there are turf wars. And so leaving those drug dealers there on the corners, remember they stopped clearing corners, leaving those people there, unfortunately, added more to this. And then there was more violence. And so there's no way that State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby didn't know this. There's no way that her husband didn't know this. Remember, he was on city council. There's no way that any of those elected officials did not know this. But they still were just fine with it, because that is the quote-unquote progressive thing to do, to just blame the police. And so that is why here, 10 years later, there are no changes. There are no changes. They never got down to what they call the root cause. That is poor education and poor leadership. They never got down to it. And also the corruption. Where is all the money? Where's all the money that went to the Penn North Corridor that Obama sent to Elijah Cummings? Where is that money? You see, this is the dynamic there. But if you call it out like I did, you call it out, then all of a sudden you're a sellout, you're a coon, you're a traitor, you're all these things. And I'm being called out, and others are being called out, you know, pointing this out. They're being called out by the people that the elected officials are stealing from. It's like they're not even bright enough to understand their quality of life should be so much better if they could get elected officials to stop stealing their money that's supposed to be going from the federal level or the state level to their neighborhoods. But they're so busy pointing the finger at President Trump or pointing their finger at Kim Klasick that they can't even see the people they're defending is stealing right out of their pockets. You see this? And the cycle continues and continues. It's wild, isn't it? And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, you haven't seen any changes. That's why. I've got Mark in Baltimore. Mark, did you want to weigh in?
Yes, good morning. But first of all, I just want to make mention to you and the listeners, today is a special day to me. Today is my birthday.
And happy
birthday.
It's not
just any birthday. I turned 65, which would make me eligible for Medicare if we can get it.
Oh, nice.
I just wanted to make mention on that. Thank
happy
you very
birthday.
Much. Thank you. Well, I remember 10 years ago when I just about turned 55, that was the day after April 27th and the horrors and everything, I looked at the development along, surveyed along Pennsylvania Avenue, basically between North Avenue all the way to Park Circle. Yes, it's true. They put in a lot of different housing projects north of Mondelman Moore on the corner of Liberty Heights Avenue. And Pennsylvania, which looks very nice, they put in a lot of different things. But you still have, in some of the same areas, just on Pennsylvania Avenue itself, I don't need to look on the side street. I'd be afraid to go there. Yeah. Even during the daytime to walk by myself. But it's still an urban blight. Where right. Is there any economic development plan for down there? Everyone's talking about the west end of the city, talking about development zones and all that. Is there an economic plan for this particular area to develop modern housing, like I see up here on the 4700 block of Park Heights Avenue? What do you know about that? Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And shalom.
Yes. Yeah, right. So, yep. Thank you. Here's what I will say to that. No, there isn't any development. And we get back, we're going to talk about this because this is actually goes to the city grants that we're going to talk about as well. There isn't any development because the master plan there, which nobody really wants to talk about, is regentrification. That's the master plan. They want to move those individuals that are there completely out. All right, right now we're going to go to our friend Tim Herb. He's on the hotline here from RBC Wealth Management. And we got to get this morning market flash. I'm sure there's still a lot of up and down. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. Happy Monday. Hope you had a good weekend.
Same to you, yes.
good. I know I missed you on Friday and actually was kind of talking about the good news we had, the string of positive days. I was hoping that you'd be here Friday for me to talk about a good week last week, of course. And you missed it, but hopefully we carry the momentum here this week, Kim. Good news is the stocks were higher, both the S&P 500 index and the NASDAQ last week, posting their second best week so far year to date. The S&P 500 was up last week, Kim, 4.59% just for the week. NASDAQ was up 6.7%. And then, of course, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2.48%. So very good news to see last week, again, posting that second weekly gain in the past three after we had a very big early sell-off in the month of April. So where we are thus far so far this month, through at least Friday of last week, but we've got three trading days left here this week for the month of April, Kim. But so far, S&P is down about 1.5% for the month because we had a pretty rough patch there at the beginning of the month. While the Dow is on track, it's actually right now off about 4.5%. NASDAQ Composite's up slightly, about 0.5%. So remember, I have to remind your listeners, the S&P 500 briefly entered kind of a bear market territory back on April 7th. So to start this month kind of, you know, coming in, I guess, more or less like a lion, as they say, and hopefully we come out the month of April like a lamb, if we will, because we've had a positive string with the momentum here two of the last 3 weeks. But again, looking at the markets today, we're up again positively. The Dow's up 86 points, S&P 500 futures are up 7.5 points, and the NASDAQ, Kim, up 17.5 points so far. Big week this week for earnings. Just to talk about the action-packed earnings, investors are really looking ahead to one of the busiest periods we've seen for the first quarter earnings season so far. Four of the magnificent seven companies, Amazon, Apple, Meta Platforms, which is, of course, the parent to Facebook, and Microsoft, will release their quarterly earnings here this week, as will some of the financial staples and big healthcare stocks like Visa, Coca-Cola, and Eli Lilly, Kim. So we've got a big action-packed week. Hopefully, again, we've got a lot of news surrounding tariffs, trying to de-escalate some of the stuff going on with China. We'll wait and see, Kim. Fingers crossed for a good day here to start the week. I'll be back Wednesday morning for another edition of the Morning Market Flash.
Sounds good. Thank you, Tim.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing imbalance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. I would like to talk to you today about balance problems, also known as dizziness. One out of every 10 patients who visits their family doctor complains about dizziness. 25% of the time, balance problems are related to the ear. At Audiology Associates, we can not only diagnose the cause of your balance problems, but if it is appropriate, we can also provide a treatment plan. You need not be bothered by dizziness anymore. So call our main number at 410-944-3100 or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans. So call 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates. When silence is not golden.
The Sean Hannity Show.
Hunter lied on a gun application form. Wesley Snipes, convicted three counts of tax evasion in 2008 for bilking Uncle Sam on taxes up to $15 million. IRS said he owed taxes. He was later sentenced to 3 years in prison. Remember the guy, Jersey Shore star Mike? Yeah. Anyway, 8 month sentence for skirting $2.3 million in taxes. Not Hunter.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're talking about Baltimore City. Of course, if you want to weigh in on what's going on in the city, we'll be talking about it for the rest of the hour. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I was just kind of wrapping up the conversation there because we're looking at 10 years since Freddie Gray's death. And unfortunately, the Penn North Corridor, that whole region, it doesn't look any different. Yes, the non-fatal shootings and the homicide numbers are down. I would thank Doc Cheatham and Matthew Hansen area. I would thank the police department. I would thank State's Attorney Ivan Bates. And I would thank former U.S. Attorney Eric Barron. That's pretty much who I would thank over there. But, you know, at the same time, it's like it looks exactly the same. And this is another thing, and I know some people kind of look at, whether you see social media videos or what have you, there are areas in this country, including a lot of areas of Baltimore City, where they're completely uncivilized, right? You can look at them and say, wow, it looks like a third world country. And it's like, but then you're expecting the individuals that live there to be somewhat civilized. And I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be the case. It won't be the case. And when you hear some Democrats, even Mayor Brandon Scott, talking about areas that have been disinfested for decades, that's one of those areas. Meanwhile, a lot of state and federal funding went to that area, but there still hasn't been any investment. Why? Because they're either taking that money for themselves or they're putting it in other areas in which they want to see that development. And so, but when you say something about this, you're the bad guy. You're the sellout. And I'm telling people, you know, to their face, look, they are quite literally the sellouts. They're receiving money to give you a better quality of life here in this region, and they're selling you out by making sure that that money is diverted either to a place where they would like to see it or diverted to their back pockets. And so all of this is really just projection, but until, you know, those areas can truly see things for what they are and focus on education and focus on these things that are important, you know, stop glorifying, like, you know, I call it like the rap music culture. Until those things happen, you're not going to see much change. It's unfortunate. Now, speaking of change in Baltimore City, you know that they're revitalizing the Inner Harbor area. And unfortunately, in the Inner Harbor area, you had the Inner Harbor Pavilion there. A lot of that went into receivership. That happened in the past 10 years, right? We saw lots of businesses leave the downtown area in general. And then when we were told that there was going to be all this investment, even state money, we were told that there was this blueprint that was put together that was going to be fantastic by David Bramble and some of the, you know, city leadership. Well, then we saw the blueprint, right? And what did they have on the blueprint? They didn't have anything really for tourists. Even though Baltimore City made a ton of money when Donald Schaefer was in office out of, you know, because of tourism, they didn't go that route, considering that we have the Orioles and the Ravens, right, where you could try to push tourism again, like, you know, they do in Florida. They didn't go that route. They decided that they want to build all of these high rises that nobody can afford. And if you have these million-dollar high rises, and you already have some over there in Harbor East that are empty, why do you continue to build these high-rises? Who do you think is going to live there? Who? You still have the crime and violence aspect. You still got dirt bikes wheeling through the city. You still got the squeegeers every now and again. I'm sure it's getting warm here now. We'll see more of them. The school system is terrible. You don't know if you're going to get robbed at gunpoint. You don't know if you're going to get carjacked at gunpoint. And when they catch the person that does it, you know, if they're under the age of 18, they might carjack you, you know, the following week. Because they're not being arrested and detained at all. Who do they believe is going to move in that area? I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be anybody. Those high-rises will be empty. And now you've got businesses in Little Italy and Fells Point and all these areas. They're now being completely ignored by Mayor Brandon Scott. And that's what we're going to get into coming up next. There are some restaurant owners that are very upset that they are outside of this zone, right? There's a map where there's a certain amount of businesses in a certain zone that will receive grant funding from COVID relief funds. And I still don't even know why we have COVID relief funds. Maybe you can answer that one for me as well. So we'll discuss that and so much more coming up next.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Utility crews struggling to get the lights back on across large parts of Spain and Portugal. A Spanish electric utility says it could take anywhere from 6 to 10 hours to restore service across large parts of that country. President Trump is defending his tariff strategy amid doom and gloom predictions of an economically destructive global trade war. In a social media post, the president writes that his tariff hikes are already producing jobs and will substantially reduce many people's income taxes. The president will celebrate his first 100 days of a second term, a big campaign-style rally on tap tomorrow in Macomb County, Michigan, just north of Detroit. At least 4 people killed in another Russian attack on Ukraine involving the use of explosive drones as well as airstrikes. More details at srnnews.com.
I am Italo Liberatore, owner and operator of Liberatore's Ristorante of Bel Air, inviting you to come and see us again and try some of our everyday and weekend specials made by our new chef, Cody. You love the new touch and the creation he brings to our dishes. Makes me hungry just thinking about it. See you soon. Visit us at the Liberatore's of Bel Air and online at Liberatore's.com. Liberatore's.com.
Why do so many people from far and wide, from neighboring states and counties, come to Jarvis Appliance to buy their new appliances? For the beautiful Jarvis Appliance showroom, fair and reasonable prices, and dependable service throughout the area on all appliances. So for your next refrigerator, microwave, oven, washer, dryer, or dishwasher, discover Jarvis Appliance for friendly prices, polite salespeople, and very reliable appliance service. Remember J-A-R-V-I-S, Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville, or visit Jarvis Appliance.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Quick turnaround for the Birds tonight as they begin a six-game homestand against the Yanks. The dismal 1-5 road trip came to a merciful end yesterday in Detroit. 7-0 whitewash at the hands of the Tigers. Orioles now a season-low 10-17 and 6.5 games behind New York. Ravens general manager Eric DaCosta overall pleased with his team's 11 draft pick haul, but acknowledging the one area he still needs to address.
Probably the one thing we couldn't do is get that big, wide body type guy. And I think, you know, that's something that we'll assess and address after the draft.
Caps back in action yesterday at the Bell Center in Montreal, tied at 2 with 3:45 left to play.
Strome, crisscrossing, closing, Mangiapane scores! Andrew Mangiapane! With a snapshot sizzler.
Joe Beninati had the call on Monumental. Mangiapane's first of the postseason, and two empty netters later, the Caps had a 5-2 win and a 3-1 series lead. Game 5 Wednesday night in D.C. Coming up in 30 minutes, quite a finish yesterday at Talladega. And that is Stein on Sports.
Attention small business owners. Imagine cutting your overhead and putting more cash in your pocket. Whether you're a restaurant owner, hairdresser, doctor, lawyer, run a spa, HVAC company, or an electrician, your small business has untapped value. Bank the value of your expertise and spend it on what your personal or business needs. Why pay cash for products and services when you can trade your downtime and excess inventory? Barter Saves works with and helps thousands of local business owners in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and surrounding areas. Visit bartersaves.com today or call 800-9-BARTER and turn what you already have into everything you need.
Temperatures will trend warmer early this week. The high today headed to 75 with a sunny sky and a light breeze out of the south, and clear tonight with the low eventually settling in the low to mid 50s. With some sunshine on Tuesday and winds picking up out of the south, the high should climb to 83. Clouds will increase on Tuesday night with a shower too late and a low dropping to 67. And there will also be a slight chance for a shower continuing to Wednesday afternoon with a partly to mostly cloudy sky and a high in the low 80s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free Sky High Silver Report and Precious Metals IRA Guide at BetterNestEgg.com. Don't leave your future to chance. Go to BetterNestEgg.com.
Since 2004, Jim Barbie Automotive in White Marsh has been your trusted name in automotive diagnostics and repair. Located at 10821 Philadelphia Road, we deliver dealer quality parts and service without the dealer price tag. Need fleet services? We got you covered. Our ASE certified technicians guarantee top-notch results for your vehicle. Call 410-335-8848. That's 410-335-8848. Or visit JimBarbieAutomotive.com. Jim Barbie Automotive, where quality doesn't cost, it pays off.
Kyle started Blindster in 2010 to make quality custom-made blinds affordable to everyone. Traditional window covering retailers are expensive. Our prices are low and our blinds are guaranteed to fit. Blindster.com.
Do you need a new roof? Call Badger at 443-NEW-ROOF. At Badger Contracting, we inspect your roof, give you a free estimate, and work to improve and protect your home. We are a trusted local company that's worked on thousands of roofs, large and small. Call now, get a free estimate, 20% off your new roof, and a free gutter system. Call me, Barry Flax, at 443-NEW-ROOF. For immediate response, call 443-NEW-ROOF. Badger Contracting, Our job is your satisfaction.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine. And also, we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday to all of you. Hopefully your day is getting started off right. We are getting into this latest story out of Baltimore City. Yes, we did touch a little bit on the Freddie Gray riots since it is the 10-year anniversary. But as many people have noted, especially those that live there, nothing has changed in this 10 years. Now, there was a bunch of money that went into that area. But again, no one seems to know exactly what happened to those billions of dollars. Let's see. We've got a text here. Says, good morning, Kim. Lisa's girlfriend had a nonprofit program, and some of the money was deposited for safekeeping. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading this all wrong, Lisa's. Or maybe, you know what? You might have talked to text there. Well, there were a lot of nonprofits that came to town for sure. And they came to town to collect the money, and then they left town. They didn't actually do anything on the ground. And even though many people have pointed that out, that still goes unreported, essentially, when it comes to any investigative journalist going into that region and trying to figure out exactly where that money went. But we'll go on. We'll, you know, put a pin in that for now. Right now, I do want to talk about the restaurants in Baltimore City and the grant funding that is going to some restaurants, but not others. Take a listen.
Yes, we can take care of ourselves, but we need a little help.
Some restaurant owners in Baltimore are speaking out, saying that they feel left behind after the mayor doled out COVID relief dollars to restaurants in downtown Baltimore, but not other places in the city. Fox 45's Jeff Abel spoke with one restaurant owner who says she could use help too.
Well, since COVID, many restaurants in this city have been hanging on to life support. But now, help is on the way for some restaurants, but not for everyone.
In Little Italy in the past 5 years, you'll be hard-pressed to find any restaurant which hasn't struggled for survival.
The most popular of restaurants exclaiming that they're having problems.
Down the street in Fells Point, more than a dozen restaurants have shut down since business began drying up 5 years ago.
Do they care? I don't know.
But this week, some restaurant owners received a sign of relief. The city announced it'll offer restaurants grants as much as $200,000 to pay for improvements to their restaurants. The city will use federal COVID relief funds to pay for the grants. But owners can only qualify if their restaurants are located in this immediate downtown area, with Howard Street to the west, Pratt Street to the south, and on the east side, I-83. Little Italy, Fells Point, and Federal Hill are outside the zone and do not qualify.
This was unfathomable. We don't even have the opportunity to join in this venture from the city.
Earlier today, the mayor defended the decision to offer federal COVID relief funds to some struggling restaurants, but not all of them.
We've talked about this is all a part of Downtown Rise, and it wasn't just the city. We work with our partners at Downtown Partnership, whose responsibility is to make sure that we're doing everything to lift up a downtown.
We're part of Baltimore downtown. And as such, we should be looked at also.
In Little Italy, owners say the city has never offered their restaurants a gift of federal dollars. They're struggling to bankroll their recovery on their own.
If the city gave everything to us and we failed, that's one thing. But when you don't have that support from the city and you're hanging on, it's not the business. The city has to do their part, too.
For those restaurants who do qualify, applications must be in by the end of May. Jeff Abel, Fox 45 News.
All right. So there you have it. There are some restaurants that are considered downtown in Baltimore City, and then there are some that are. There's a lot to unpack here. A lot to unpack. You can also weigh in 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Okay, so when this was posted on Instagram, right, on Fox 45's Instagram, of course, there were a lot of people that hit the comments and said, well, duh, it is clear that the white-owned restaurants are not in the zone. That's what a lot of people were saying. Now, of course, I went in and I looked at the map. And yes, there are some restaurants that are black-owned that are outside of this this zone, if you will. But this is not the first time that they've done this, okay? So when I ran for office in 2020, I don't know if you guys were watching back then, but I had the opportunity to take some individuals from Baltimore City, community leaders, to the White House, to the West Wing, to meet with Daron Smith, who worked for Jared Kushner, who wanted to make sure that they received money. Why? Why were they there? Because if you recall, this is when President Trump was doing the opportunity zones, okay? But the problem was that the Trump administration allowed the city elected officials to draw the opportunity zones themselves. So the city itself said, okay, here's what we believe should qualify for the opportunity zone, leaving out Harlem Park, Matthew Henson, Sandtown, all of those areas where you would think that they would need investment and more opportunity, they were drawn out of the zone. That's why we were in the West Wing, because we were trying to get them to change the map. We were trying to figure out how do you go above and beyond the Baltimore City leadership to get the actual money to these communities. We were trying to figure all of that out. And it's a shame because remember then President Trump did not win re-election at that time, and so we weren't able to push that through. But that's why Doc Cheatham and all those individuals went with me down to the White House, because the city, not Trump, the city leaders drew them out of the opportunity zone. So here you have a situation where you're drawing restaurants that are clearly downtown. They're paying downtown property taxes, I tell you that. They're clearly downtown. They're being drawn outside of this zone. Now, if you also look at the zone, you will notice a couple different things. Those restaurants that are in that, that are out of that zone, they have complained in the past about what city leadership is and is not doing, okay? And if you look at, even in the interview there, you have the restaurant owner down there in Little Italy. I want to say, is that, is she from Gia's? She does interviews with Fox 45 all the time because obviously her restaurant is affected time and time again by whether it's the public safety issue, whether it's the fact that they hardly clean up over there. I mean, there's all these things that are always going on over there. Well, anyways, those restaurants that have complained on Fox 45 in the past, those restaurants are left out of the loop. And Mayor Scott saying they're not considering them downtown. They are, in fact, downtown. They are, in fact, downtown. So then you go further than that, and I want you to remember the last election cycle in Baltimore City. It was neck and neck with whom and whom? Mayor Brandon Scott and former Mayor Sheila Dixon. Those restaurants that are outside of this zone that would receive the grant funding, who do you think they voted for? If you guess Mayor Sheila Dixon, you are correct. Just take a look at the data. She had more support in Fells Point and in Little Italy and these areas that are being left out. Why? Because they knew that Sheila Dixon didn't play any games when it came to public safety. So they were voting for her. This, in my view, this is the big piece of this. I think that this is basically retaliation on Mayor Brandon Scott's part. Now, this is my opinion on it. This is the same thing we heard with those that live in Fells Point or those restaurant owners when they said that they went to go complain to the news. Do you remember what they said to the news then? They said that at that time, Councilman Zeke Cohen, who was the councilman in that area, they said that he was mad at them for taking it to the press. He wanted to have a private meeting with these restaurants before taking it to the press. And what did they do at that time? They decided they were going to put their property taxes into escrow until they did something about the public safety factor. And that was the only thing that made them jump. But because they did that, now they're not in this zone. Now they're not considered downtown while paying downtown property taxes, while having downtown crime in front of their restaurant. You see how all this is shaping out? This is the corruption that you see in Baltimore City time and time again. They choose the winners and losers based on who they like and who they believe voted for them. That's what's going on right here. Now, a lot of people, like I said, they were saying online, well, there's a lot of white restaurant owners. There are a lot of white people that actually want to dine in those areas. And they think, you know, it was kind of a reparation situation. I don't know how much I believe that this was race. But, you know, you could say that there was a little bit of a possibility there with this. Okay? That's what's so sad about this. So my question to you is, do you agree with Mayor Scott? Do you believe that Fells Point, Little Italy, should not be considered downtown? 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Also, you can text me on the text line. If you haven't already, I need you to get on the ball here. I need you to go to the App Store and download the WCBM app. It is free. You can text me here, live in studio, right from the app. So now, imagine if you are a business owner, right? Say, right there in Little Italy. Imagine you're a business owner. And now you're dealing with the new taxes that are being added from the Maryland General Assembly, right? Now you're wondering if this new IT and data service tax is going to affect you because you don't know, because a lot of your payroll is whether it's with, what is that, ADP or anything else like that. That could be considered a data service, right? No matter what you use to do payroll or to keep track of your employees, whether it's clocking in, clocking out, we still have no idea what that's going to shape up to be. We have no idea. Now, you also have the higher electricity bills, right? How many times have we heard the city council talking about how they blame BGE for the spike in electricity bills? They just put it solely on BGE. And I'm not saying that BGE isn't playing a role in this. I'm not saying that. But when you're importing 40% of your electricity into the state, that's a huge problem. Your energy costs are a huge problem. So here's the thing. You've got that on top of this. And then, of course, you still have the public safety issues in that area. If you didn't know, it was a pretty violent weekend in Baltimore City. And as the weather gets warmer, what do we always see? We see a rise in city crime. Right? Because now you got the dirt bikers out there. You got the squeegee workers out there. The drug dealers are working overtime on their quarter shifts. Right? The quarter boys are out there. It's insane. Now also, stay right there. Also, I want you to add this. The award that Baltimore City just won. Baltimore City just won an award. Now, from the state of the city address from Mayor Brandon Scott, and I think he did a great job of trying to present that, but no, I did not agree with anything that he had to say there. But with his state of the city address, he was telling everybody how great Baltimore City was and how everything's getting better. Well, again, Baltimore was ranked the dirtiest city in America. The dirtiest city in America. Meanwhile, I've got some audio here for you. I think it's Jeff Abel again for Fox 45. There isn't a close second. There isn't a close second. In Baltimore City, you've got more 311 complaints than anywhere in the U.S. by far. Take a listen.
Well, tonight, a new survey from House Fresh ranks Baltimore as the dirtiest city in America, citing more 311 complaints per capita than anywhere else in the country. Fox 45, Jeff Abel joins us live with those findings and how residents say the city can try to clean up its act. Jeff.
You know, when it comes to sanitation complaints, researchers tell us that Baltimore far outpaces other cities like New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, earning it the title dirtiest city in America.
In a back alley near Bentaloo and Baker,
there's a lot of trash back there.
The trash piles up faster than anyone can remove it.
The city comes out, they will clean it up, but it's back a mess.
In this community, there's little surprise about Baltimore's most recent distinction, the dirtiest city in America.
You believe this, that Baltimore is the dirtiest city in America?
Yes, it is.
Why you say that?
Because it is.
The title comes after researchers with the online publication House Fresh analyzed millions of 311 complaints that come into cities each year and discovered that Baltimore had thousands more sanitation complaints than any other city in the country. Sacramento was a distant second.
We own it. You know, without a doubt, you can look and see the dirt that's here.
Doc Cheatham, who leads Baltimore's largest community, says he's logged thousands of sanitation complaints.
We average about 100 calls a month. Right here. Yeah. That's a dump site.
But by the time the city responds, violators are long gone.
The people who are coming to give out the tickets, they don't come often enough, and they don't come quickly enough.
Already, there's concern that the country's dirtiest city could become even dirtier if the mayor's proposed budget passes. The tipping fee charged at the city's landfill will double.
It's going to make it much worse.
Residents fear the higher landfill fees will simply encourage more illegal dumping, leaving some communities in an even dirtier predicament, one that could take a while to clean up.
The trash need to be up. That's it.
Well, according to the study, Baltimore is home to six of the dirtiest zip codes in the country, the dirtiest being 21213. Jeff Abel, Fox 45 News.
All right. So congratulations, Baltimore City and the Baltimore City Mayor and City Council. You have the dirtiest city in America. And if you heard there, Sacramento is not a close second. It's not a close second. It's just filthy here in Baltimore. As far as the zip codes that were ranked, number one, as Jeff Abel pointed out, 21213, with 89,000 complaints. 21223 with 78,000 complaints. And this is 311, by the way, to pick up the illegal dumping. Number three is 21216, 69,000 complaints. 21217, you're number four. Congratulations, 62,000 complaints. 21205, you're number five with 55,000 complaints. And 21218, you are number six with 51,000 complaints. And all of those zip codes that I just listed there, all of those zip codes can be found in the areas that have the worst public schools, the open-air drug markets, and the most crime, violence, and carjackings. Are you surprised? No, of course not. Of course not. Now, this is from House Fresh, by the way. They analyzed 12.3 million sanitation-related 311 complaints across various U.S. cities to determine which city is the dirtiest. When we get back, I wanted to just tell you a little bit about Philadelphia. Philadelphia actually has more people as far as population size, 1.5 million people in Philadelphia. I want to tell you what their sanitation budget looks like. And then I'm going to tell you what the sanitation budget is here in Baltimore. And I want to tell you exactly how crazy it is that Philadelphia didn't even make the list of dirtiest cities. Stay right there.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The damage was done under Biden and under Obama and Biden. Trump inherited this mess. Just like he's inheriting the mess in the Middle East on October 7th and inheriting the mess of the Iranians now being filthy rich because Joe Biden turned a blind eye to the sanctions that Trump had in place that were bankrupting them. And as a result, they were able to foment more terror in the region and help plot, plan, and scheme what happened on October 7, 23, and fund the Houthi rebels, and then fire their own ballistic missiles into Israel. That's all. This all lies at the feet of the failure, the mess, the disaster. That was Joe Biden's presidency.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Hey, you exhausted every day? Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. Is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com, use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com, and Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Grocery prices are still through the roof. Natural disasters are still devastating, and supply chains are still fragile. That's why millions of Americans are turning to My Patriot Supply, the country's most trusted preparedness company. Right now, they're offering $200 off their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. This kit feeds one adult 2,000 calories a day for 3 full months. It's packed in sturdy, long-lasting containers with a 25-year shelf life. And best of all, it ships fast and free. But this special offer is only available for a limited time. My Patriot Supply rarely offers discounts this steep, so if there is ever a time to get prepared, this is it. Get ahead of the next crisis. Whether it's a natural disaster, supply chain disruption, or something bigger, you'll be glad you took action. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to claim your $200 discount. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Again, MyPatriotSupply.com. Stock up on peace of mind today.
My name's Danny Manoff, and I am the president and CEO of Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. We're a unique company that helps attorneys run their practices more efficiently as certified Clio partners. And more importantly, we also help the average person that can't afford or doesn't want to use an attorney to deal with their legal issues. If you're a pro se litigant, we always feel you should seek counsel, but if you want to proceed with the help of experts, please be in touch, ipsvirtual.com. Thank you again.
Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County. The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right. We're talking about Baltimore City. Yeah, we were just talking about how Baltimore is ranked the dirtiest city in America. Congratulations to City Council, DPW, and everyone. And I will say, when I first saw that clip, that segment from Jeff Abel over there at Fox 45, he was talking to people that were, you know, just kind of walking through or driving by in the city. But the first gentleman that he asked, I was dying laughing because he had on one of the sanitation worker vests. And he was like, and so Jeff Fable's like, can you believe it's the dirtiest city in America? And I don't know, I didn't get to see the back of the vest, but he was like, can you believe it's the dirtiest city in America? He said, yeah, it's dirty right over there. And I was thinking to myself, man, wouldn't that be something if that was a DPW worker? I wish he would have shown the back of his vest, but he was like in the car, so you couldn't really see. Anyways, yes, Baltimore is ranked the dirtiest city in America. This is not the first time. If you heard, also, Mayor Brand Scott does plan to hire the landfill fees. And there are many residents that believe that this will make illegal dumping and much more even worse. And I happen to agree with them. But just so you know, in Philadelphia, they have a population of 1.5 million. And their sanitation budget is about $246 million over the next 5 years. $246 million over the next 5 years. Now, the TPW budget here in 2025 in Baltimore City, this is just for 1 year, $193.5 million. And that is an increase of $41 million from 2024. And it's still the dirtiest city in America. Here's what I'm saying to you. We're spending a lot more money. And look, 1.5 million is a population in Philadelphia. Here you have less than 600,000 people. So you're spending a lot more money to clean up after a lot less people. And what do you have to show for it? Being the dirtiest city in America. Just think of that. Let that sink in. So if you're one of these restaurants that are left out of this zone, right, like in Little Italy or Fells Point or what have you, and you're also dealing with that component and being named the dirtiest city, which tourist wants to come to the city knowing that all this is occurring, right? The crime, the violence, the dirt bikers, and you're the dirtiest city in America. Who's coming to town? Who's coming to town? Who's buying those high-rises in the dirtiest city in America? We'll discuss so much more when we get back.
Hey, folks. Bruce Elliott. Let me tell you about my friends at Wallace Roofing.